Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Why don't you walk around with me here, Rosie, on the house, and let's get our hands in the soil. Fall is in the air. You can smell it. You can feel it in your bones. You can just, you can see it in the plants out there. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. Text in to 411-923 or email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And Mr. Jay Harper will do his best to put his years of experience and third-generation gardening knowledge to work for you. See if we can't get a successful garden this fall.
Well, successful gardens start with soil preparation. And soil preparation starts with working, in our case, organic material back into the soil that's pretty much disappeared by this time of the summer with the heat and the watering that we do. And, you know, it just kind of goes away. Consequently, that's why you don't see black, dark, rich-looking soils here. They're kind of tan and, you know, looking, and there's just no organic material in them, and we have to reincorporate it every season. So that's the first thing that people should start doing. If you had a summer garden, you know, it's probably peaked out, pooped out. If you go down to places like Crooked Sky Farms and some of the big local farms that grow produce, they're tilling. In fact, some of them are starting to replant already. If you really want to see something spectacular, drive down to Yuma and drive around and see what's going on right now with farmers getting ready, prepping the fields for what becomes the salad bowl of the United States here in a couple of months. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're working the soil. They're putting organic material back in the soil. They're cultivating it. They're getting ready way ahead of time. So when that magic day hits, and that for most homeowners, for backyard gardeners, is probably about Labor Day weekends. That's only 2 weekends away, I think, about two weeks. It just makes the job a whole lot easier, and you'll do a much better job if you break it into small bites and pieces and kind of attack it over the next couple, 3 weeks, and, you know, get those bags of compost and start working them in, and you just don't have to kill yourself that way.
That's always a good way to start gardening, when you don't have to kill yourself.
I agree. It's not supposed to be work. It's supposed to be fun. So, you know, do it a little at a time. Do it as you can, and by that magic day, you'll be ready to go.
And what are we planting? You'd mentioned lettuce. We've got the salad bowl of America.
Well, the easiest way for me to remember what makes up our winter or cool season crops are things that we eat the leaf of, the root of, or the stem of. So any leafy things, you know, spinach, chard, kale, lettuces, you know, those types of things, mustards, any of the greens, any of the leafy things. And then, you know, the things we eat, a stem or a modified stem or kind of a flower of, so cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, what we call coal crops. And then, of course, root crops would be carrots, beets, turnips, radishes. And there's some funky things like kohlrabi and different things that are really good. I like them. But so there are all kinds of root crops that do well here, too. So roots, leaves, stems. You can. There are a couple of exceptions. Labor Day is kind of the magic day to plant peas. If you like peas, you know, it's nothing better than just picking snow peas off the vine and popping them right in your mouth. The problem is you don't ever have enough to make it into the kitchen with. Winter squashes, pumpkins, those types of things can all be planted now, too.
Now, we've talked a lot about container gardens because it's a lot easier to manage than having to crawl around on your hands and knees and up and down, up and down, up and down. Going to a raised planter type, can you just get bagged soil and
absolutely
put it in and it's all good to go? Or well, should you add some more?
No, I mean, it depends on how big the raised garden or, you know, when we're talking a container garden, a raised garden is a container garden. And there's some pretty big raised gardens, you know, and they might be 2 or 3 feet deep. Well, it would cost a small fortune to go buy nice bag prepared garden soil like a Mel's mix or a good potting soil and fill it. You know, we're talking, you know, as much as maybe 2 or 3 cubic yards of that material would cost hundreds of dollars. So what folks can do is get some bulk material or compost or buy some lesser expensive materials. Depending on the depth of your bed, you can fill them up a ways. You can even use some rock or gravel for the first 6 inches or so. We need about 6 to 10 inches of that good planting medium to grow in. So just keep that in mind. And the rest below it, just make sure it drains well. It kind of defeats the purpose of just going out and getting native soil and backfilling it with that, because it just gets hard and compacted below that. Use some gravel, some sand. You can kind of layer it and then get, maybe work your way up into, just some compost mixed with some native soil if you want. And then on top of that, put, good garden soil. Good composted material in bags mixed with good garden soil. If you want to cut the cost down a little bit, that works really well too.
Do you have a favorite bag maker? I mean, we talk about the square foot garden a lot. Mel's Mix is a pretty good one.
Really good one if you just want to dump something in and plant right in it. Pretty hard to beat it. Or the Grow Well potting soil. Their premium potting soil is awfully good. As well, if you just want to just plant right in it. There's a line out there called Happy Frog. That's a lot of people really like that. And you talk about container gardens and your raised beds and square foot gardens, but with so many, if you haven't been around South Scottsdale these days, the condominiums and apartments and even a lot of places, not just South Scottsdale, but the kind of the new renaissance of living is going to lend itself to some type of, if you want a vegetable garden, you're going to have to do it in a pot or a raised garden or some type of contained deal. And the beauty of that is it's pretty easy. There's no taking 2 or 3 weekends to go out there and get your soil ready. It's go get a bag of soil, dump it in the pot and plant. You're ready. So really good way to go.
You just need to have the trunk space or the bed of a truck to transport it then at that point.
Places will deliver. So you got to be able to haul it. Of course, hauling bulk materials is even harder. So there's a lot of ways to do it. But the nice thing about that is you can do a pot or two at a time. You don't have to do your whole backyard, whole back patio or balcony or whatever. And you can make break it up into smaller little projects.
Fall vegetable gardening. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-Rosie for you to join the conversation. But before we get to our calls, let's cover lawns. We have a decision. Do we fertilize and extend it, or do we shut off and get ready for overseeding?
We're at about that critical time. We're getting close to Labor Day, 1st of September. It might depend on the state of your lawn. I have a pretty shady backyard, and it just looks pretty crappy right about now. The rye grasses have all died. The Bermuda doesn't do very well, so I'm at the point I'm not going to fertilize anymore. Now we're just kind of keeping it watered and for another few weeks, and then we'll scalp it and overseed it. If you're not going to plant a winter lawn, then you certainly want to fertilize again. If you haven't aerated, if you haven't added any organic material, this would be a great time to do that. But if you're going to plant a winter lawn, you probably don't want to push too much growth now. You probably don't want to feed the lawn unless it's just been in pretty bad condition and it's distressed. So if you're going to overseed, maybe don't feed yet. If you're not going to overseed, one or maybe two more fertilizations. Depending on the weather and the temperatures, we get into September, October. You can keep a Bermuda grass lawn pretty green, late into the fall if it's in good condition and nutrition and we fertilize it. And that's where I like the organic fertilizers like a Hickman's or somebody like that, where you'll get that 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks of feeding. Doesn't green things up real quick, but it gives you a long-lasting fertilization. So if you are not going to plant a winter lawn, that would be a great way to go right now.
And how soon, if you wanted that rye and you wanted that different style of grass, what's the earliest possible point you could start that?
The earliest possible is probably about mid-September. I don't advocate that. I think that's damaging to the Bermuda grasses. We're causing it to be scalped and stressed a whole lot earlier than it naturally would want to be. Remember, we just said you could keep Bermuda grasses green, heck, some years up till Christmas. So if we're going to make it go dormant in September, when it really by nature wouldn't go dormant until Christmas time, that's very stressful to that Bermuda grass lawn. Then we're going to introduce a competitor right on top of it and cause it to be, dormant, and then also have to compete because it's still wanting to try and grow, and that ryegrass is going to grow quicker and shade it out and take nutrients. So I really don't, for homeowners, I think the middle of October to the about the first or second week of November is the ideal window. And even as late as Halloween, I think is almost perfect. That way you're only asking that Bermuda to be dormant maybe a month longer than it really would want to be. And it's also cool enough. You know, if you overseed ryegrasses while it's still pretty hot, you can run into some fungus problems. It grows so fast. If you don't mow it quick enough, you know, you get some real issues. Now, people will say, well, what about the golf courses? What about the – well, you know –
their budgets are a lot different.
Their budgets are different.
Their time to manage it's a lot different.
And their revenue stream is based on when they can get players back on that golf course. And, of course, something happens about the early part of October. These folks start showing up from all over parts of the country to our hotels and resorts and coming back from long, hot summers. They're living here and they're wanting to play golf on a nice green golf course. Well, they don't want to be just starting to overseed and shut down for a couple weeks for that. They want to be ready to go. And, of course, they're not adverse to spending lots of money on fungicides and different treatments to keep that from happening. So you really can't base the homeowner's situation on the commercial situation. It's a whole lot different.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.